Are you ready to start living richer? Well, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Live Richer podcast, hosted by Jamie Catmull, a podcast created for people to challenge and manage their ideas of wealth, culture, and money across the world, bringing you the best personal finance advice to make more, save more, and live richer. Now, here's your host, Jamie Catmull.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Live Richer podcast. Today, I have a very special guest with you. Her name is Jade Warshaw. Jade, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jamie.
So, Jade, you and your husband were able to get out of debt, I believe it was $450K. And how were you able to do that? And I also, you guys were musicians and you had all this debt, and now you're living debt-free. So how'd you do it, Jade?
Well, I think whenever you're facing a mountain of debt, you've got to have a plan of action, right? Like you might be able to wander into debt, but you can't just wander your way out of it. You've got to have a very clear plan of action. And my husband and I had that. Many people are familiar with the 7 baby steps, Dave Ramsey's plan for getting out of debt. And so I found him on the radio and I heard him talking about it. And I thought, you know, I think this can work for us. And I told my husband about it. And so we went over to Barnes & Noble and picked up The Total Money Makeover. Back then it was a workbook edition. And so we picked it up. And honestly, from there on, we just started working those baby steps in a nutshell.
Okay. So, you know, not everybody's able to follow the baby steps. And in fact, I think that's one of the reasons I heard that you wrote the new book that you wrote. What's the name of the book again, Jade?
It's called Money's Not a Math Problem.
And isn't that one of the things you address, that sometimes people try baby steps and they fail? They don't always make it through the baby steps. They say they want to get out of debt and they don't do it. I mean, you and your husband, you were able to do it. So what are some of those tips and things that you give people when it comes to trying to get out of debt, when they tried and tried and tried and keep tripping over themselves?
So it really begins with understanding the baby steps, right? So it's these 7 mini pieces that are so important that when you build them together, obviously they ultimately lead to this feeling of financial peace and you've got financial security. But the crux of all of it is a budget, right? You've got to give a plan for your money, and a budget is truly that. And I think that a lot of people struggle with the budget because they view it in the wrong light. Like they've truly got the wrong mindset around it. And I was one of those people. And that's truly why I wrote this book, is because when I heard the word budget, it was like red flag, you know, my armpits start sweating. It just feels like, honestly, for me, it felt like a punishment. And I realized that a lot of people feel that when they hear the word budget, they think, oh my gosh, this is something that is, you know, really negative because I haven't managed my money correct. Now I have to be in a budget. And it's like putting you in the corner. Or a lot of people feel that if they're in a marriage situation that, you know, if I'm on a budget, that's just a way that my spouse is controlling me and I should be able to manage my money on my own. So we all kind of have these preconceived negative feelings or thoughts when it comes to having a budget, which is truly just a plan for our money. And so I wrote this book to kind of change that mindset and to kind of get people to challenge their own thought process and say, where did that thought come from? Like, why do you feel that a budget makes you feel like you're on punishment? Why do you feel like a budget is your spouse trying to control you? Why do you feel this way? And I think if we can get to the bottom of that, we can really start to change our behavior.
So I'm going to get personal. Why do you think it was hard for you to get on a budget, and how did you get into so much debt?
You know, for me growing up, money was one of those things that was always just a point of contention between my parents. And, you know, it was always kind of, it was never a positive conversation. It was always a negative. And so I always heard the budget as this thing that was keeping me from being able to do the things that I wanted to do as a kid. And, you know, keeping my parents seemingly from doing the things that they wanted to do. But that truly wasn't a budget. That was just, you know, a personality that, you know, was a little bit, you know, one-sided. And so as I got older, I realized, hey, that's not actually true. And when you're in control of your money, you get to make the rules. Like you get to decide what your priorities are, what your goals are, and your money gets to reflect that. And that's actually a really, really positive thing. And I think that the reason for a lot of our debt starting out is we just weren't ready to embrace any sort of plan. Myself, probably like many of the people listening, you go through school, you go through college, no one teaches you about your money. No one teaches you good practices versus negative practices. We just kind of take on whatever culture tells us. And culture says, hey, you got to, you know, build your credit score. So you need to go into debt in order to build your credit score. And so you just kind of fall into that rhythm along with whatever mindset you picked up as a kid. And before you know it, in our case, you know, you're drowning in debt and you're not really sure the way out. So that's how that works.
Well, and I think also you go to school believing that I'm going to go get out of school and I'm going to make a whole bunch of money, right? So people take on student loan debts, they do all this, and they think I'm going to make all this money. So I saw that you, I'm guessing, were you a music major? I know both and your husband were in music. I mean, it had to be hard to go out there and make money.
Yeah, I mean, both of us were music majors and we knew that that's the career path we wanted, but we weren't exactly sure, you know, what that is. It's music in many ways is like being an entrepreneur. You kind of have to fight your way and figure out your place in the world. Like, everybody's not going to turn into Beyonce overnight. And so what does that look like, you know, for us? And so over time, we realized that it was us performing live. Like, I was a vocalist for 15 years and my husband was a professional musician and arranger. And then at one point, we decided to translate that into a talent agency and kind of, in many ways, duplicate ourselves. And so we did that. And it took us a while to get our footing in that. But also the benefit in that is, you know, it's like that old saying, necessity is the mother of invention, right? And so because we had so much debt, I think that there was this fire lit underneath us to figure out a way to really create the income needed to pay that off. And so because of that, we were just always brainstorming ideas. What can we do? What can we do? What can we do? And building that talent agency came out of that. So
how did you get over the belief that a budget wasn't a punishment?
You just have to walk through it. I think that you just have to take the risk. And at some point you have to go, the person telling me this plan knows more than me. Like, I literally looked at at Dave Ramsey. I'm like, this guy's got millions. I've got negative half a million, right? Like, this guy knows something I don't. And when you look at it and it's like millions of people have walked this plan, like there's some part of you that has to go, okay, I'm either all in or I'm not. I'm either going to try this thing wholeheartedly with both feet, or I'm just going to, you know, play patty cake with it and probably not receive the results. And so my husband and I decided, hey, let's try it. Like, let's go all in. Let's do it the way the plan is written. You know, the first step is you get $1,000 saved, and any money you had beyond that, you put it towards your debt. And baby step two is you pay off all of your debt except your mortgage. And so we did that. It took us 7.5 years. And a lot of people stop right there, but they don't realize there's 5 other steps that go after that that involve saving up a fully funded emergency fund and investing 15% of your income and putting money aside for your kids' college and ultimately paying off your home, all so that you can give and live this life that you've always wanted to live and be outrageously generous while you do that.
Did you ever think the man you heard on the radio would become your boss?
No.
Because you now, I didn't even mention this, we need to mention this, that you are part of the Ramsey team now. And you're one of their personalities. So here you come from a person who's in debt, doing music. You hear a guy on the radio, and next thing you know, what is it, 13 years later, you're working for him?
So, yeah.
I mean, did you imagine that happening?
No, never in a million years. I mean, I was really solid and happy in my career and the path that we were going. And, you know, it's just funny how things like that happen. I'll be honest with you, few things in my life are as I predicted them to be. So it kind of, in many ways, it just kind of continues that pattern. But for us, I think the turning point was 2020. You know, so many people found themselves in situations that were just completely unpredictable, right? Like the word of the time was unprecedented. And so in 2020, our all entertainment was shut down. All live events were shut down. And obviously that was the whole foundation of our business. And so we found ourselves with a lot of free time on our hands. And I actually have always been very close to Ramsey, and I've always followed them. And so I was on the email list, and my husband and I got an email that they were hiring for personalities. And I'm like, 2020, you're hiring? Okay, like, let's see what this is. And so, you know, it ended up being a 2-year conversation where myself and the folks at Ramsey, we really just got to know each other and decide if this was going to be a fit. And during that time, you know, obviously, whatever lockdowns finished and our business came back and everything was back to normal. And I still kind of was like, I think this is the right move for me. Like, I think I'm ready to go on and try something new and different. And both my husband and I agreed, and here we are, and it's been really great.
It's an amazing story. So really, you just saw the ad. I was thinking maybe they contacted you, like you went in, you were on the radio show and you rang the bell or whatever. You don't have to get in. No. I'm debt free. Were you one of those people even? Did you ever do the thing, come to the show, radio show and say you're debt free? So you had done that at least.
100%. Yeah. Back in 2018, my husband and I, you know, once we paid off all our debt, we went and you can go. And in the lobby, there's like, they call it the debt-free stage. And you get to go and Dave Ramsey or whoever's hosting the show that day will interview you. And at the end of it, you get to be, you know, scream, we're debt-free. And it's just kind of this very primal moment where you're just like screaming into the night that you're free. And I, by the way, it is worth doing if you get to that point. It just creates this line in the sand of like, I did that, I'm never going back. And honestly, it's so motivating for anybody else who hears it. So I would definitely recommend that. But yeah, definitely did that. It's weird. I met Dave a number of times in random situations. And it's funny to look back on that and be like, oh, wow, now I work for you.
Because you just never even thought.
I never did.
Yeah, you don't usually see like people who are in the entertainment type industry heading over to personal finance. But, you know, I think it's awesome. And then you even have a book now, as we see behind you, and you wrote a book. So, I mean, did you see that even in the future being an author?
Well, it's funny. When I first graduated from college, I had this thought. I was like, one day I'm going to write a book. And I remember sitting down and like trying to write pages. And then I was like, wait a minute, I don't know anything. Like, I have nothing to write about. And so it's funny that, you know, 7 to 10 years later, just the School of Hard Knocks will teach you so much. You know, there's that saying that, you know, a man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with an opinion. And because of that 7.5 year experience with my husband, because of us just being so dug in to getting out of debt and learning everything that we could about personal finance and how to make our situation better, it's just really cool to see how that's translated into literally a whole career. So it's great.
Can you talk to the person out there right now on what they need to do to get out of debt? So just talk to them like if you were talking to them right now, how would you say it?
I would say the first thing to do is face reality. My buddy, Dr. John Deloney, always says we have to choose reality. And until we do that, you can't really go much further because you haven't even admitted that there is an issue or a problem. And so for my husband and I, it was this just moment of clarity where we said, if we don't change something, all of the things that we say we want to be true about our life will never happen. And that was very sobering for us. Like, we'll never be able to live the lifestyle we want. We won't be able to take the trips we want to have. We may not even be able to have the size family feasibly that we want to have and take care of them in the way that we would like to take care of them if we don't pay off this debt. And so once we came to reality and just accepted that to be true, then it was like, okay, game on. Like, let's start doing this. And then, so that's thing one. And then thing two, like I said, it's, you've got to commit to a process and commit to a plan and just be willing to submit to the fact that there's someone who probably knows more than you that can help you. And I just think as people, we can be so prideful, right? It's like, you go to the gym, like, imagine me showing up at the gym and just being like, all right, bro, like, I already work out, like, I'm already fit, you know? And it's like, okay, then why are you here, right? And so it's the same thing with finances. You've got to find that trainer and go, hey, man, I need help. Like, I'm not doing this. Like, I'm overweight or I can't run or I'm not eating well and I realize that. Can you please help me? And when you come in with that posture, then you're just like, anything can happen. Like, you're just willing to do the plan and do what the trainer says. And so it's truly that. And then once you submit to that plan, it's just working that plan and making it a priority and making all of your wins, making it a priority to celebrate your wins along the journey.
So if you had one money tip, what would that one money tip be?
It would be to get on a budget. A budget is a plan for your money. It's custom organization for your money. It defines your money. And so many people, I'm astonished, and I don't say this in a judgmental way, but, you know, people call into the Ramsey Show all the time, and it's astonishing. A lot of people don't even really know how much income they're bringing in, and they don't really know. I mean, there's a statistic out there that says over 70% of folks, if you ask them, hey, how much did you spend last month. They don't know. Like, they have no idea.
Hey,
they can maybe
there.
Give you, you know, and it's so true. And that's why I say it's not even a judgmental thing. It's just we're always busy and we live our lives and we're going, going, going. And before you know it, you look up and you're like, what did I do? I don't even know. Right? You don't even know. And so having a budget is just you taking a moment of intentionality and saying to yourself, I work hard for my money. Like, my money is expensive. It costs me time away from my family. It costs me sleep. It costs me my free time. It costs so much to devote 8 and 10 hours a day to work. We should take very good care of the outcome of that, which is our income. And we should treat it with care and know where it's going and know how it's being spent and know how it's being divided. And that's something that we owe to ourselves. That's a form of self-care, if you ask me.
Yeah, I think people just feel overwhelmed, you know?
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. when you say to me $450K, most people, that would be so overwhelming.
It is.
And then they
definitely think,
oh, saving $1,000, that's nothing. And then it did take you guys a long time to do it. It wasn't like it was 5 years. How long did it take, Jade?
It took us 7.5 years, but it's important to note the average person who works the baby steps gets out of debt in 2 years or less. That's the average.
Whoa,
so
I didn't realize that.
I know, it's crazy. So
it's crazy.
Yeah. My husband and I were very far above average. Like, it's funny. You go through your life trying to be different. I'm like, no, this is one time you want to be average. But two years or less is what it takes most people. And it's 2 years of just grinding, right? Just picking up side hustles, you know, using that budget. And to your point, Jamie, I think a lot of people do feel overwhelmed with their money. But we have found that once you get on that budget, it's like finally you can see clearly, and it kind of lifts that fog of the unknown and that feeling of stress. Because really what's making you feel overwhelmed, what's making you feel stressed or fearful is the unknown. It's like, I know there's a problem. It's like a monster in the closet, right? You feel like there's something there. There's something behind there, but you don't want to open up the door and see it. But usually once you open up the door and see it, you're like, okay, like I can deal with this. Like, over time, I can start to organize this thing, or I can start to, you know, get this under control. And it's usually not as bad as we think it is. It just takes a couple of tweaks.
So did you have a song in your head when you were doing it? I'm just wondering if you did. I know it's like a crazy question to ask, but I'm like, she's musical. Maybe she's using music to motivate her.
It's not. When I think about getting out of debt, I love Prince. And so the song Let's Work comes to mind, because you're not getting out of debt without putting in work. So Let's Work by Prince is definitely going to be it.
So you think people should have a playlist? Maybe have a playlist before you walk into the store, get something, get pumped.
100%. Listen, it can't hurt. I think that when you find things like that to keep you motivated, whether it's a playlist, a lot of people like those, you know, printable things where you can kind of color in the squares as you're saving, or color in the squares as you're paying off debt. Whatever you do, my husband used to put notes on the mirror in the morning.
Oh, really?
Just to remind yourself, like, why am I doing this? Why is this important? And I think as much as you can do little things like that throughout your day, when you have that song or that color sheet or whatever it is that reminds you, okay, I have to stay focused, there's a reason why I'm doing this, then I think that that's a great thing.
So writing the book, what do you think is the biggest takeaway for people who read it?
I think the biggest takeaway is we all have a set of beliefs, whether true or not true, that inform our behavior. I always say you behave like you believe. And so we all owe it to ourselves to take a moment and go, is this belief, is it serving me? Like, where has it gotten me? And have the idea that we don't have to cling to the things that aren't serving us. We don't have to cling to beliefs that aren't true. And we can exchange that for something that is true and that does serve us. And so I think it's just a mindfulness and becoming aware of what's taking place upstairs. And like, to your point, and not being so overwhelmed and so busy that we never take the time out to go, why do I feel that way? Why does my heart start to race whenever somebody asks me what I spent? You know? Why do I get defensive immediately, you know, when someone tells me, no, you can't spend money on that, or no, you shouldn't spend money on that? And take a moment and just dig deeper.
I think that goes in lots of aspects of our lives, like 100%. Why we do the things we do. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's always some internal belief that causes that behavior and figuring mm-hmm. it out. So yes, you were ma'am. Able to figure that out without a therapist or anything. You just kind of dug deep and asked yourself, looked yourself in the mirror. I mean, I know I'm getting like, what do you tell people to write down a notebook? I mean, what are we supposed to do to figure out why we're doing what we're doing? And
you know,
to get where
I do
we want to go.
I am I love therapy. I think it's wonderful. I am a person who engages in therapy regularly. So I think it's a great practice. But for those of us who maybe aren't ready to do that or whatever, I think that a journal is a really great place to start. When you start feeling a certain way, journal about it and ask yourself, you know, I was out today, you know, especially for the spouses, I was out today and my husband said something and it triggered me. Why did it trigger me? And start journaling about those things. You know, I start asking yourself the question, you know, I know I've been feeling stress around our money. Why is that? Start journaling what your habits are, your spending habits. There's always some place to start. And I really think that when we put pen to paper, it becomes real and you can go back and read it and look at it. And again, instead of having all these kind of unknowns circling around your head, you can pull them down, get them on paper and really see it for what it is.
Was there anything that you did that by journaling has really helped you?
Everything in my life. If you go back, like I am a hardcore journaler. You're going to be able to go back and find chronicles of my life because I write everything down. And I feel like in many ways, a budget is that for our money. It's a journal of our numbers. And it's really cool. I'll tell you what, Jamie, one of the coolest things is to go back and I can look at a budget that I wrote on paper from 2012 and I'm blown away. Like, it's crazy to see how many payments we had and debts we had and how much we did with so little money. And now I look at that compared to now and I just go, oh my gosh, what a blessing. And so there's just something, like I said, getting things down on paper, whether it be words or numbers, it just makes it very real and it helps you to understand what's going on in the moment and see what you need to do to change it.
Okay, that kind of goes to what I want, the last chapters in your book where you talk about coming out on the other side and how you kind of give people hope. So how does it feel? And what can you tell people, like, hey, it's going to be painful, but if you work through it, it's going to feel like what?
Yeah, anything worth having is worth the pain it takes to get it at the end of the day. You know, for the moms out there, you know, you want a baby, it might be a physical toll on your body. It might be, you know, hormonal injections, whatever it is, there's going to be some sort of give and take that you're going to have to experience some bit of pain or some bit of sacrifice, but the reward on the other side is always worth it. And so I just think that that's kind of just the yin and yang of life. Getting out of debt and finding financial peace is no different. You know, there's going to be a trade-off that you make, and it might be with your time. It's going to be with your money. It's going to be maybe some difficult conversations that you have to have with loved ones or family members. You might see people in your life fall off that you had relationships with because they can't handle you having growth in this area. And so there's always a trade-off. But at the end of the day, because there was a reason you set out to do this, it's going to be worth it. Most of us have this internal why of why we're doing this, whether it's for a better life for your family or to keep your marriage together or just so that you can finally go to sleep at night without feeling crushing anxiety, whatever that feeling is, that's going to be worth it. Trust and believe when you get to the other side to just be able to sleep and rest easy.
You might be able to get rid of the weighted blanket if you get rid of the debt. You never know. That could be what you do.
Jamie, I still have my weighted blanket. I still use my weighted blanket now. I love it.
I know. I was thinking about getting one. I'm serious.
I love it.
real fast, I forgot that you mentioned the five lies. So can you just kind of go over those five lies for us that we tell ourselves?
I'll give you a teaser. I'll give you a couple of the lies because I want you to go read the book.
Okay. You can give me two or three.
I'll give you a couple. So the first lie is, like I said before, you feel like budgeting is a punishment. It's for people who are poor. They've managed their money poorly. And so now their punishment is you've got to be on a budget. Oh, and it's just condescending, right? It's just that feeling. That's one of the lies. I think another lie that, and this is for couples, they just believe budgeting is best done alone. Like, I got here on my own. I don't need him or her.
Oh, yeah.
I don't need them getting involved in this. This is my thing. I think that's a big lie that people face. And I'll throw another one out there because I was just so guilty of it. I think a lot of people think a budget is just a list of your debts and a list of the things that you owe money for every month. And as long as you pay the things that you owed on, everything else is kind of up for grabs. Like, I paid my rent, I paid my phone bill, my utilities, my car. I met my obligations, and now whatever's left, it's just a free-for-all, treat yourself, no problem. And I'm like, that's not really a real budget. That's just something, but it's not a budget. A real budget tells every dollar where to go, and you make a plan for every single dollar before the month begins. So those are three lies. You'll have to read the book in order to find the others.
All right. And where can we get the book?
Oh, you can find the book wherever books are sold. Amazon, definitely RamseySolutions.com. You can find it BarnesandNoble.com, Target.com. It's everywhere. So,
and the title again?
Money's Not a Math Problem.
Money's Not a Math Problem. And then I love to ask people who come on the show what living richer means to them. So, Jade, what does living richer mean to you?
Ooh, living richer means a life without the stress of debt and payments.
Ooh, that is good. Right there. I love that. And I love your money tip that you gave us. That is to have a budget. I think that one is a tried and true money tip, is yes, to have a budget. Thanks, Jade, for all the great advice. And I want to remind all of you to live richer.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode. Before you go, we'd love for you to subscribe to our show to catch all of our updates. Also, we want to hear from you. What are your burning questions about money and how to live your best life? Reach us at liverichapod@gobankingrates.com.